If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Speaking of smiling, here's Dr. Amar Patani, that dentist we talk to sometimes from Main Street Smiles in Barrington. Hi, Doc. How are you?
Good. How's it going, John?
Pretty good. We've been in the habit of putting you on once in a while just to answer some kind of nuts and bolts questions about flossing and brushing and oral health and all of that stuff. But I'm going to get to that. But in the commercials we've been doing for you lately, Doctor, you've been talking about Botox. Tell me how that works. How does Botox help with headaches that people have? Because that's one of the reasons that you give Botox treatments, right?
That's right. So primarily the reason I started offering Botox to my patients is for patients suffering from migraines, especially when it's due to clenching, but it also helps with patients that can't tolerate night guards that are big bruxers or clenchers and grinders, because it basically targets the muscles responsible for clenching and grinding and relaxes them, so you can't create that destructive force on your teeth. So it's been very helpful. So that's the original reason why we went into it. Now, we also do the aesthetics also. It kind of goes hand in hand, where even if you get it for your clenching and grinding, you're going to see some aesthetic potential, benefits in the eye of the beholder. But the slimming effects or the relaxing of the skin effects are also there.
Yeah. I say for pride or pain.
<You get it? laughs> That works.
Yeah, well, I guess it does, but I never thought that a dentist would be a person administering that, but then I thought, well, it kind of makes sense if it's pain around my head or neck or if it's from grinding my teeth. I did see a statistic this week that 10% of us grind our teeth at night and don't know it. Does your practice kind of confirm that?
Yeah, and actually, I think the numbers overall for clenching and grinding have gone up a lot since we hit the pandemic times. And in general, I'd say 10% is probably accurate as far as people that don't know they're clenching and grinding. And a lot of times, the way they'll find out is during their regular dental visits. We'll see signs of it, whether it be like destructive tendencies on the surfaces of the teeth, or you get these little divots near the gum line on your teeth, and that can be a sign of just the flexing of the enamel due to the stress that's put on them when you clench. And so a lot of times, we'll be the ones to bring it up with the patients and then talk through potential remedies for that.
One area talk show host went to a dentist and discovered he too is a clencher, unbeknownst to him. I got to get back there for that. I mean, really, so in my case, because I don't think members of my family use one of those things that they put in their mouth at night to protect their teeth from clenching. I didn't think I was doing that, but you saw little divots or something in my teeth too, huh?
That's right. And so everyone's different with this. And so it becomes an issue if the tendencies to clenching and grinding, if the force you're producing is very strong, such that we're seeing destruction on the teeth. And so there's different things. So there's the clenching, which is, really tight forces, and that causes the teeth to flex a little bit, causing that enamel to crack or break or to kind of break out near that gum line. And I'd say 20-30% of people will see those little divots near the gum line. And then there's grinding, which is kind of the back and forth motion. And it's kind of like, sandpaper to, it can smooth down the contours and the anatomy of your teeth, such that you're not able to chew with the best efficiency or the efficiency that you once had, which can then cause problems with your GI system and so on and so forth there. So with those two different pathologies, there's different solutions. We talk about first-line treatment is always like a night guard. And for me, I'm very conservative as a dentist, so I say night guards are great. They protect your teeth. They're easy. You wear them, and you're fine. If you're a clencher, though, a lot of times you'll clench right on top of your night guard, and you'll just, exacerbate the situation by changing the location you're clenching but still applying that force. And so we have a different kind of night guard, which is called an NTI, which will snap into your front teeth and basically will keep you from being able to touch your back teeth together. And so you're not able to generate that clenching force, which then doesn't give you the satisfaction of the clench, and we're trying to retrain your body so that you're not clenching anymore. And then for people that don't tolerate guards at all, that's when we start looking at Botox as another solution. Oh. The drawback there being that, you know, it is something that lasts 3 to 6 months, and then you have to do it again. So over time, it can become expensive, and, you know, it's just something that you have to maintain.
But how does Botox keep you from clenching?
So Botox is, it's called a neuromodulator, and basically what it does is we inject it into the muscles. So the muscles of mastication or chewing, we have the masseter and the temporalis muscles, which are kind of on your cheeks. If you clench really hard, you'll feel your cheek muscle kind of pop out to the side. That's your masseter muscle. And so we inject into that muscle. This is a neurotoxin. It goes into the muscle, and it basically intercepts some of the signals coming from your brain that are directed to that muscle to clench. And by blocking a certain amount of those signals, we can reduce the force of the clench. So if we gave you too much of it, then yes, we could stop that muscle from clenching altogether. But of course, our dosing is very low, and so we're trying to just take the edge off. So we don't want to eliminate your ability to clench, because that will, you know, change the way you chew or eliminate your ability to chew. But we want to just take the edge off so that you're not doing it in a destructive way.
If you've got a question for Dr. Patani, 312-981-7200. Last time you were on, we didn't get to half of the questions. Can I throw a couple of them at you, Doc?
Absolutely.
What stains the teeth more, tea or coffee?
That's a good question. I don't know. I would say they both stain the teeth. I would think coffee would, but I don't know that there's any specific science around it.
I used to do a straight hydrogen peroxide rinse, and then I noticed my bathroom sink was getting small cracks, so I stopped using it. do people do that? What's the purpose of a hydrogen peroxide mix, doctor, or rinse?
So in general, I don't recommend a hydrogen peroxide rinse. At certain formulations or dilutions, it's okay, but at stronger concentrations, it can be damaging to the teeth and the gums. So we recommend staying with over-the-counter mouthwashes if you want something, or talking to your dentist about alternatives like a chlorhexidine rinse, things that are more prescription-based. But in general, peroxide, because we don't know the concentration, or, you know, we're not aware of what concentrations the patients are using, we just recommend staying away from them.
Well, I use a mouthwash every night, and I swish it around my teeth. I tell myself I do this because that'll kill the bacteria, and that's good. Because it says that on the bottle, but I don't know if I'm really doing myself much good. What's your thought about that?
I think that's good. So there are certain mouthwashes that are antibacterial that do kill the bacteria. Everything helps. The other thing you're doing is you're clearing or cleaning the areas between your teeth when you're doing that swish. So letting that mouthwash touch your teeth and get in between there can help. It's just important to know what you're using and then why you're using it, just like you mentioned. Another thing that's very helpful is fluoride in the mouthwash, because fluoride on the teeth can remineralize them and make them stronger.
Can that damage the teeth or the enamel? Can the stuff that's killing the bacteria eat away the enamel or hurt my teeth as well?
No, it can't.
Is there a test for bacteria, says one of our listeners? I mean, if we're fighting that thing, can I do a little swab and see how much I have or how am I doing?
They do have tests for it, but I would say it's not worth doing. We all have bacteria in our mouth all the time, you know, and there's good bacteria, there's bad bacteria, just like in the rest of your digestive system. And so we're not trying to eliminate all the bacteria. We're just trying to reduce the number of bacteria, and especially the bacteria that are producing the acids that are decaying our teeth. It's you know, the bacteria in your mouth is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's there. So there's no reason to really test for it. There are some studies that look at the types of bacteria, because certain people have bacteria that's more causes more of the decay, and then other people have bacteria that's more involved in bone loss or periodontal disease.
Lots of questions for Dr. Patani, 312-981-7200. You'll get in if you call. I'll read as many of the text messages as I can. For instance, 217, how bad is Diet Coke for your teeth? He asks nervously.
So I'm in that same position, because I love the Diet Coke. So Diet Coke is not bad for your teeth from the sugar perspective, because it doesn't have sugar in it. but it's bad for your teeth in the sense that it is a carbonated beverage. And there's a process that happens when you drink a carbonated beverage. So even if you drink carbonated water, you're producing something called carbonic acid. When that carbon dioxide hits the air, it changes its formulation into a substance called carbonic acid, which can then decrease the pH in your mouth and make it acidic, which then softens the enamel and is essentially producing the same effects as bacteria on your teeth, causing decay. Because essentially bacteria are producing acids in your mouth that allow your teeth to decay. When you drink a lot of carbonated beverages, you're doing a similar process. It's not as intense, but a similar process.
So how about if after I have my, but that's funny, my sparkling water, which I think, what could be the harm here? How about if I just rinse right afterwards with regular tap?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And we've talked about that before and how really clearing your mouth and helping your body buffer back down to a healthy pH is very helpful for your teeth. Because essentially that's what your saliva is doing, right? We're trying to restore the normal pH in your mouth. And so by clearing your mouth of these acids or debris, you're helping your body do that.
Doc, what about people who want to chew gum? Like, remember Dentine and some of those gums? I don't even know if they're still out there, but is there a gum that's good for you? Or what do you say to people that want to chew gum?
I think chewing gum is fine for your teeth. It actually aids in digestion. It produces more saliva. It helps clear your mouth. The thing you want to make sure is that you're chewing sugar-free gum. There are some gums with xylitol that are actually bactericidal, which will help kill some of the bacteria. But in general, any sugar-free gum is fine to chew as long as you don't have jaw problems. People that have like TMD, TMJ issues, sometimes we'll find that chewing the gum can exacerbate that condition.
Okay.
So if it's not that, then I think there's no issue with chewing gum.
630, John, is beer like soda? Please ask the dentist.
That's a great question. So anything that's carbonated, beer included, is going to be not great for your teeth. The other problem with beer is that it's high in carbs. Carbs are sugars. And so now you're feeding the bacteria and producing that acid that causes decay. But certainly, you know, I'm not suggesting you don't drink any beer. I'm just, you know, be smart.
Well, I mean, so when you leave the bar, ask for a glass of water and swish it around and drink some water, right? I mean, I don't know what you think
Absolutely.
About that, but that seems like a good idea to me. How about this? How about alcohol-free mouthwash? What's your thought about alcohol-free mouthwash?
That's fine. So there are some alcohol-free mouthwashes. Again, you want to look and see what the ingredients are on them. There's some that have fluoride. There's some that have essential oils. These can all be good for your teeth. There's nothing wrong with them.
How should you clean your bite guard and how often?
So for the night guards, we recommend cleaning them. You know, I would say you could do it as often as every night. You could do it once a week. As far as what to use, I always recommend a toothbrush and some hand soap, so just like a drop of your hand or dish soap, and just clean it out like that. Typically, toothpaste is a little bit rough and abrasive on it, and it can kind of hurt the polish or make them a little bit rough.
Is apple cider vinegar damaging to teeth?
So apple cider vinegar is a vinegar, and vinegar is acidic. So again, you know, it kind of falls in the category of the carbonic acid, of the acids produced by the bacteria. So the answer to that question is, in the right concentrations, yes, apple cider vinegar can be very destructive to teeth. If you're diluting it, you know, it's going to be less destructive. You know, I think it's all about benefits and kind of weighing out, you know, what risks are worth what benefits.
Please ask him, what is Botox filler?
I don't know what Botox filler is. We have Botox, which is the neuromodulator. And then we have fillers like Juvederm and Versa, which are for filling lips and areas on your face that are maybe.
Well, I think that's the question, yeah. Right? Because in the commercial, they say or they can use fillers to smooth out the lines in your face. But that's not Botox
right.
Then, huh?
No, it's not. But the same company that makes Botox also makes some fillers like Juvederm. Yep.
Okay, that's funny to me because when I was in your chair last, you said, you know, you might benefit from a filler. I thought maybe that was Botox, but it would be a filler. And in my case, because I'm always laughing and talking, I have pronounced lines from, say, the crown of my nose and then down along my jawline, right? Is that what we're talking about, Doc?
Yeah. So, and it's, again, it's only if it's something that bothers you, is something I'd recommend is, there are lines that run from the corners of your nose down to your lips, and then from your lips down to the chin area, and there's the nasolabial lines and then the marionette lines. And we can treat those using a filler to kind of get right underneath those wrinkles and produce more of a support for that skin so that it at least appears less folded in that area.
Because I don't have many wrinkles, but I've got those lines, and I never thought about it. And I thought, well, I could, it wouldn't look, and there would not be any, like, scarring's not the right word, but if you smooth those out, I'm not going to have residual lines where they were, right?
So, you know, I always, the analogy I like to use for this is like folding a piece of paper. You fold it, it's got a crease in it, now you unfold it. There's no more crease. I mean, there's no more deep crease there, but you can still kind of see that line. So it just depends on how deep your line is. If this is something that's been developing over years and years and years, then you may still see some of it. You know, we can get to a point where it's a lot less visible. It depends case by case on whether we can eliminate it totally. And again, this is something that's only necessary if it's something that bothers you. I would never recommend filler for anyone that isn't bothered by that.
Yeah, right. So when someone sits in your chair, you don't go, wow, whoa,
no.
Boy, you ought to fix that. One last thing. You know that Glide dental floss, which is, I don't know, waxier and wider and goes more easy in your gums. Do you like that, or do you like the thinner, kind of harder kind that is easier to scrape with? What, do you have any advice for me on dental floss?
As far as dental floss, the best dental floss is the floss you're going to use. So whatever kind you want to use is going to be the best for you. We have something here we just started carrying called Cocoa Floss, which one of my hygienists recommended. And it's a very nice thick floss that's got, it's a different kind of feel to it. Stimulates your gums a little bit better. But honestly, for me, anything you're getting in there is going to do the job. So it's whatever you like. If you like a flavored one, that's fine. If you like a plain one, a waxy one, whatever you're going to use, that's going to be the one that you should use.
Yeah, she likes that cocoa floss, right? That's what you called it?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, if that's what you're going to use, just use it. Doctor, always very helpful. Lots of crazy questions out there, but good ones. I appreciate your help today.
No, I appreciate bringing it on, John.
You betcha. 11:57, Dr. Amar Patani at Main Street Smiles in Barrington. You want to know more? You can click on their website, mainstreet312.com.